News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Bray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 29th of May, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, and stuff that you can use. And I think we'll start with Dave.
I had to tell Steve to SOB.
Slide over, baby.
You got it.
There you go.
People always look at you. You know, I sit there. Matter of fact, we were in a restaurant, just where I moved, telling the wife, SOB! These other women are looking at me.
Yeah, right.
And then she goes, oh, slide over, baby? And all of a sudden, these no ladies sitting there, they're going, it was humorous. Because at first, you know, their mind goes right to the gutter.
Right, right, right. Well, that's where everybody's mind. Yeah. When you're talking to Steve in particular, that's where your mind needs to be. Before we start, though, I do want to apologize to everybody who's trying to get to the server, the streaming media server. I think I forgot to turn it on before I left yesterday.
Uh-oh.
I had it down. I was doing some repairs on it, a little bit of work, this and that. And I think I forgot to the server's up. I forgot to start the software.
Yeah, but this is Memorial Weekend, and after they're done listening to us anyways, they should be out, you know, doing some other
stuff
with their family.
That's exactly right. Go do stuff with your family after us.
There's a lot going on. I mean, there's been a number of parades going on, I think today and tomorrow.
That's right.
So, you know, if you're done listening to us, you know, you can get out, do some gardening. I know that's where my wife is, and doing some other stuff. So, hey, enjoy the weekend. It's supposed to be at least decent today, so take advantage of it with all the rain that we've had the past couple. But turning to the news, well, you know, this one kid that created this Sasser worm, or hole, shall you say, to exploit your Windows XP or Windows 2000 and even some of the Deviants that from there, because there came out Lasser, and then there was Lasser A, B, C, D, and E. Lasser B still happens to be one of the ones that's still out there floating around. It's still attacking a lot of folks because a lot of folks refuse to do the update.
I had a customer this week get hit by the GoBot or Agobot, and I look it up on Symantec's website. There are 900 variants of this virus. 900 variants.
Yeah. But, you know, it's amazing.
This new.
I think he had number 3.
Oh, there you go then. All right.
But this whole new strand of worms, and this is totally different, folks, than from viruses, because you don't have to attack email, you know, open an email or anything else. All you have to do is be surfing the web, and I had one client that was connected through a modem, and only for a couple of minutes, because Lasser D will attack your machine right away. I mean, bam, it's quick.
Right.
They modified the code.
Yeah, for those of you that have cable or DSL, when your computer is off, you'll see your data light flashing away.
Yep.
Every flash is a virus attacking your system.
Yep, trying to get. But, you know, it's very simple. All you got to do is instead of ignoring when Windows XP reminds you to get the update, do it. It only takes a few seconds, and you can opt to reboot later on, but at least you'll have it in there. Because literally, Lasser, what it looks for is anybody that's not running a firewall.
Remind me later, remind me later, remind me later.
Exactly. Right. And if you simply go to our website and dance the tango, and also if they go to AskNick.com, that's
AskNick.com.
And click on the Our News. Nick has a number of free pop-up stoppers, because I've had a number of folks emailing this past week. I've at least done a dozen of folks that I've pointed them towards that site to get free pop-up stoppers. But the other key thing now, along with your virus software, you know, running Adware, running SpyBot, is now going to be make sure you have some type of firewall. If you've got like a Linksys router hub, you've got a built-in firewall. But there is a free one out there called Zone Alarm. It does a great job. Yes, it's a little annoying and kind of a pain in the butt at first because it's going to say, should I allow this?
And
should I allow this?
Read that screen very, very carefully to
exactly
know what you're allowing. Don't just automatically say yeah.
Yeah, because you could be opening the door for some other spyware program. But as long as you know you're going to that site, because it'll tell you the site that you're going to, you can say yes and always remember it. It's like anything else. It's got to do a learning curve. But once that learning curve is done, then you can go ahead and surf. Anything else, you can kind of watch. And if a spyware program comes up, you can next time on Zone Alarm say no and always remember. So it'll constantly block that out for you and not cause you any problems of getting any of this worm style. Because this is going to be the new trend, they tend to believe, trying to find exploits and getting around other security holes that you don't even have to open up an email.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Gentlemen. These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this indeed is Soundbites. We have a little more news. Oh, first, you want to put in a shameless plug?
Yeah, for Rob's mom, who baked us a bunch of fantastic chocolate chip cookies.
Mama Linton, these are magnificent.
For your little Robert F. Linton the Third.
Master Robert F.
Linton. Robert F. Linton the Third. We don't know what the F stands for yet.
We were trying to find out, but she wouldn't give it up.
She told me about that. I said, nope, don't tell him.
Yeah, she, you must have threatened her pretty good.
Lighten up, Francis.
Not Francis. Everyone thinks that.
No, that's too obvious.
Fenton.
No.
Farquhar.
Farquhar?
Farquhar.
Lord. No. You guys don't know
Fred.
It's not Fred. All right.
Fisher.
Oh, yeah. No.
Fisher Linton?
No, you're just not going to get it.
Robert Fisher Linton the Third.
Well, maybe somebody else out there that knows Rob real well might know his
well.
Well,
the funny part about it is I scream the calls.
You know. Yeah, but they could be calling in about a computer question, or they could email us.
Right, exactly. All right, back to the news, and now it's on to Steve.
I was going to say, I brought in pizza from our Mac Ave. We're open today for the holiday. We actually had a very good sales day this morning. There were people waiting for me to show up.
So nice.
We were glad. It was a big question this week. Should we open on Saturday for the holiday? Well, if it's a nice day, people are going to be out and about and will come to the store. If it's a bad day, they're going to stay inside somewhere. So we decided to be open. Had a great morning already. But we got a pizza to celebrate the weekend. And I brought some pizza in for the guys. And suddenly these cookies show up and just blow my pizza away. So you got to come back to the store after the show to have some more pizza.
Exactly. Well, not a problem. I think we can manage that.
Yeah. In the Mac news, there's been a lot of talk in the last couple of weeks about Mac security vulnerabilities. Apparently, too many people were saying for too long, the Mac doesn't have any, or the Macs are underreported. So apparently they've been finding quite a few more recently. And get my mic to stay up here. Last week, Apple released System Update 10.3.4 for their Panther operating system. But some people have been running into problems with it. One of the things it patched is some of the security holes they've been having in the last few months. Basically enhancements to all of the different subsystems in the shared directory services, the file sharing system, the graphic update, USB update. So a pretty major update, 41 megabyte update. But some people have been reporting problems trying to install it. And Apple posted a warning on their webpage about if you have any third-party system utilities. Which I can't remember any off the top of my head, of course. Not specifically Norton, but you want to make sure with Symantec that Norton Utilities gets updated. But there's some system extenders. Confabulator is one. Things that show up in your system preferences to extend the functionality of the system may not be compatible with a system update. So if you're running any extra things in your system preferences, you want to check with those authors to make sure they'll work with the 10.3.4. And likely they won't know yet because it's only been out a couple of days.
Right.
The general rule of thumb when you're updating the system is to temporarily disable any non-Apple system stuff just to make sure that the update goes in smoothly.
Excellent. In the Microsoft world, a couple of interesting things. Several years ago, Microsoft created a software assurance program. The deal was that when you bought your system, you paid Microsoft an exceptionally interesting amount of money. On top of that, in order to get software assurance, and what happened was for X number of years, they would give you updates free and fixes free and everything else free. Well, as it turns out, in those 3 years since they offered the software assurance program, there haven't been any updates. None. So now, everybody who spent that money, and it was a significant amount of dollars, yeah. Everybody who spent that money is angry. Because here comes Service Pack 2, which is going to come out after the software assurance program. Here comes Longhorn, which is going to come out possibly a decade after the insurance program. So people are actually getting very, very angry. And Microsoft is extending that support. Of course, it's only for certain products, only for certain people, only for 3 years, and only if you have an extended support contract. But that's okay. You get 5 years of mainstream support, 2 years of extended support under the new policy, which starts from the extended support period. It lengthens it to 5 years. Or for 2 years after the second successor. I'm not even going to go through all this. It's ridiculous. It's like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But if you're one of those companies who actually bought the software assurance thing, rest assured that Microsoft is going to do something exciting and lovely for you.
Huh? Do you hold your breath waiting?
I did. Did you notice I said it with a straight face? There's a new batch of proposed internet domains. Make it easier to filter out smut and things like that. .travel, .XXX, so you'll know where to find all your porn now. Yeah. That's kind of an exciting thing. Somebody...
These main bookmarks.
If you couldn't find it before...
You couldn't find it. Right, all you got to do is pretty much type any random set of characters.
One of the problems that we've run into with spyware and junk on under Windows is there's several internet extenders, the common name thing. You know, there's three or four of them that claim to... let your browser understand these new domains better when they're actually, you know, spyware and stuff. So your browser doesn't need to know. It's all built into the internet.
Yeah, right. Somebody suggested .Klingon.
Cool.
Takba.
Takbe.
Stop it. What does that mean? You're standing on my foot?
it's a quote from...
Get off my web.
It's a quote from Shakespeare in the original Klingon.
To be or not to be. Yeah, but that's the word they had to make up because there was no to be in Klingon originally.
Yeah, they intentionally didn't put that verb in.
Right. And then,
Kapla.
Right. .mobi, M-O-B-I, for mobile domains. They have suggested .jobs. So, like, if your company wanted to offer jobs, they could be at www.yourcompany.jobs, as opposed to the infinitely more complicated www.yourcompany.com/jobs. Right.
Well, and one of the problems is we've talked to some of the domain registrars we've had on the show before, you know, and that virtually every company has .com already, and they have standing orders of, you know, .biz, all right, I want that one too, .jobs, all right, give me that one too.
Right.
So the point of extra domains was to let more people in, but it isn't working because a company wants to have a wide aspect as they can get. So that you find them and not somebody else.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you're confusing them more, like Nick said, though, versus, you know, just go to the company .com/jobs or /activities. To sit there and teach them to
go. The company should have a big button on the front page that says jobs.
Well, duh. Yeah.
Well, versus, you know, sitting there, if they want to go to jobs, they got to go to the company .job. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. It's going to be more confusion.
Right, it's just a way for somebody to get more money. I think Steve's completely right. The one that does make sense to me is .Asia, for the Asia-Pacific region, where you would expect to find non-English characters used.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very good idea. Yep. And in the obligatory Linux news this week, as the open source industry grows and grows and is becoming much more widely accepted, the use of Linux as a secure operating system is becoming a prominent choice among corporations, educational institutions, and the government sector with national security concerns at an all-time high. You're seeing a lot more Linux in the United States government. A recent survey conducted by the MITRE Group found 251 Department of Defense deployments of Linux and other open-source software. Not only is the United States government sponsoring hundreds of open-source projects, it's been reported that open-source applications have become major components in the IT infrastructure at the Pentagon. Now, of course, the proprietary software advocates, fill in your favorite company name here,
are currently stirring a debate on whether using Linux in matters of national defense is appropriate. They, of course, believe it is not, whereas apparently the United States government believes it is. And it's true, if you set up any operating system, it will be fairly secure. But Linux, through its Unix roots, is phenomenally secure if it's set up correctly.
Yeah. But I read something very interesting this week. I was working with my wife's new company, and they're running an SEO Unix box with dumb terminals.
Mm-hmm.
In the house. She does transcription at home. They're finally setting up a VPN so we can use our Roadrunner. So it's SEO Unix. So I'm looking up SEO. Do you actually say SEO or is it SCO now?
Yeah, no, it's still SEO. They prefer
Santa Cruz
SEO.
Operation.
Right.
I read they've got on their main homepage why you should buy Unix over Linux. And one of their points is that SEO owns Unix all the way back to the 1969 patents.
Yeah.
They are suing every Linux company.
Yes.
For using SEO's patents.
Yeah.
But
they're wrong,
the
by the way.
Right. It was made by AT&T and Bell Labs with public money.
Yeah.
Inherently public domain.
And AT&T has said that publicly.
Yeah.
They've gone in and said, look, they don't own it. They bought the right to the name. You can't call your thing Unix. But as for the code itself, that's been in the public domain for 40 years.
One of the other cases that Windows lost, Microsoft,
is
the word Lindows. A judge turned around and said, Lindows can use that name, and there's nothing Microsoft can do about it.
So now you're going to see Mindows, Dindos, Bindos, all kinds of things coming out there. We're going to take a quick break, Indos, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Sound and your calls on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Paul Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick French.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're back to Soundbites. Going to go to the phones in just a second, but first I would like to take this one personal opportunity to personally thank each and every one of you out there listening who's a veteran. God bless you and thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, you're one too. Thank you.
But, you know, it's nice
my
to
wife
know
is
that,
the veteran in our family.
Yeah, right. Well, that new memorial, which is long overdue for the World War II.
Long.
Yeah, that really looks pretty from what I see on the news. So, it is really pretty.
Very nice. We're going to go to the phones now.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, no, yes, but who's on the phone? Why, it's Jim Salmon down at
Miller
Brick, and here he is.
Hey, thanks, guys. Yeah, you're right. We're at Miller Brick, which is at 734... Ridgeway Avenue. That's between Dewey and Mount Reed. Big party going on today, folks. They are selling landscape pavers, garden blocks. This is a great place. If you're going to redesign your walkway or your driveway, this is the place to start. And you can come down and win a custom grill system. They have this concept called an outdoor kitchen. It has a built-in beer tap and a grill. It's just the place to be for your paver needs here at Miller Brick, 734 Ridgeway Avenue. Come on down and take part in all the fun.
Works for me. Hop in the car, tune to 1180 WHAM, and head down to Miller Brick. And you can listen to us while you're on your way to pick up some great stuff. Get that outdoor.
Great deals.
Get that outdoor.
With a
kitchen. Sounds good.
With beer tap.
Beer tap. You never have to go indoors ever.
See, cooking inside is usually the woman's job, but cooking outside is the man's job.
Oh, Steve. That was Steve Ray, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Ray, R-E-A. Steve Ray. That was not
me. And your wife will talk to you when you get
home. My wife is out of town this weekend.
And it was not Rob.
But if she listens to the archives.
That's right.
Which we could email her and tell her to.
We're going to pull out a little clip and send it to her. Okay, that was Steve Ray, ladies and gentlemen. The opinions expressed on this show by the host do not necessarily reflect those of the other hosts or of any right-thinking human being. Thank you.
I can pick up the phone and order takeout just as good as she can.
In our household, my wife is smart enough to know that I should never be allowed to cook.
Yeah.
I'm just really, really bad. I'm willing to do it. I just stink at it. Oh, my God.
I do all the cooking.
Yeah.
My wife, she stays out of the kitchen. I sit there, and I love to cook. I mean, I can do everything. Thanksgiving, when I have my family over, because I'm one of six. My dad's one of 19, so when we have the family get-togethers, I mean, I do two turkeys. I start one the night before, and I love to do that.
Sure. I love to cook, too. I'm just terribly bad at it. Nobody loves to eat what I have. We're going to go to the phones now. Talk to Lou from Fairport. Welcome, Lou. What's your question?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Peachy, how are you?
Listen, my buddy called me. He said,
to come over because he had a problem on his toolbar.
Yeah.
The toolbar came up, and I came over. I had put in Adware, put in, you know, Stinger and SpyBot. Came up as BlazeFind, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It wiped out everything else that he had next to the start button. Is used to hide all the things there in order to start the programs. Now, every time I pull this up or do the SpyBot and Adware, SpyBot pulls it up every single time that it's on there. I went to add and remove programs, remove the program out of there, but it's still there.
What other antivirus software is he running besides Stinger?
Norton.
And it's up to date?
It wasn't when I got there, but I did it up to date, and then I did a full system scan on it,
yeah.
And it only took 20 minutes. Usually they take a good hour,
yeah.
Don't they?
Did you try running Stinger?
Yep, I ran Stinger also.
BlazeFind is listed on the Symantec website. That's Norton.
Say again?
BlazeFind is listed as one of the viruses that Norton's antivirus can handle.
But
yeah,
that was awful fast for it, you know. Even
yeah, so I'm thinking disabled the Norton. Is that possible that Norton was disabled by a virus?
It's possible, but then Stinger should handle that. Here's what you do to get rid of it.
Had you downloaded the current version of Stinger?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, what you need to do is update, make sure you have the latest version of Symantec running. That's both the program and the definitions.
Yeah, make sure when you start the program up there's no yellow check marks or
right.
Anything's
okay.
Turned off.
Run a full system scan and
yep.
Delete all the files detected as adware.blazefind.
And make
okay.
sure you update adware.
Okay.
And delete the value that's been added to the registry. It's in the registry. If you do a registry search for BlazeFind... Hello?
Yep, I'm listening.
You'll find it. It's in, if you're one of these, remember, we suggest you don't ever go into
right,
the registry. But you know what we're going to do? Rather than go through all of this, I'm going to get Steve to put this on our website. If
okay.
you go to soundbites.org,
yep.
That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like to remind you. And Francis is not Rob's middle name, by the way. Now that's going to become part of it. It's going to get longer and longer and longer. He'll put it up. We have a thing called I Heard a Website on Your Show, dot,
yes.
dot, dot. And I'll give him this URL at the break. It's a long and involved one. And he'll put it up there on how to get rid of BlazeFind.
Okay, guys, I appreciate that.
That's at Symantec's website. Down at the bottom, it tells you the three places in the registry to delete the key.
Okay.
Then apparently reboot, and you're on your way.
Okay, now, can I ask one more quick question?
I don't know, can you? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, he went to his email also, mm-hmm. and... before he opened this unidentified email, he scanned it, and it came up as there's a virus, do not open, w32.sober.gatmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did he just do with that? Just delete that, right?
Delete it, yep. Just
delete it out there. Don't
yep.
touch it, right?
That's why, on any of the email, I always tell folks, instead of quarantining it,
oh,
delete
okay.
it. Hello, if you've got a virus coming in, I don't want to deal with it.
There can't be anything as important enough that came along with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and what
well,
are you going to do in quarantine?
And the point was that if there's a real message with a virus attached, you can remove the virus and keep the message. If Symantec can't remove the virus, it lets you quarantine it, so potentially a future version of Symantec could remove it. However, most of the time, the virus is the only thing in the message.
Exactly.
And you don't need to bother quarantining
it,
just delete it.
And if it's that important of a message, tell the person that's sending it to clean up their machine and then, resend it.
Yep.
That's right.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
When this BlazeFind was identified March 22nd, so if his friend's update hadn't been running since before then, he could have easily been attacked by it.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
He could have gotten hit by Klez, which would have shut down the Norton from doing any update.
Yep.
And then all these other viruses just snuck in.
Right. Our next caller, Rick, from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Rick. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
I believe I have a registry... corruption.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do with it.
What OS are you running?
98 second edition. It's run flawless for years.
Mm-hmm.
And now what happens is every time I click a folder on the desktop or control panel or explorer, I get the illegal operation, and then it comes up and says an error has occurred in Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer will now close.
The quickest way to fix this, Rick, instead of trying to, you know, hunt this all down,
right,
is take your Windows 98 SE CD and reinstall it. What it'll do is it'll copy all those corrupted files over it. They won't interrupt with any of your other programs that you have previously installed. You're only updating the Windows programs. So any of your data, your bookmarks, and all that stuff still remains. So do a reinstall of Windows 98 Second Edition over what you currently have.
Okay, because I know it. Nothing works in regular, but if I go to safe mode,
And it works.
Everything works fine.
The quickest and easiest fix for you than trying to teach you to get into the registry and play around is just do an install over and install.
Okay.
All right?
All right, thanks a lot.
Have a good weekend.
It's a hard thing to figure out.
I don't even want to tell them how to go into the registry. I know where to go, but I mean, I don't want to be responsible for somebody all of a sudden messing up more stuff, and then if they lose their data, the reinstall is the safest and easiest that people can't.
Well, I'm reinstalling. I'm going to wipe out everything.
No.
If you install over itself.
And make sure you install into Windows, not Windows.000.
Yeah.
But
right.
Every time we post a registry cleaner that will try to clean out registry problems, it gets removed or discontinued. And
yeah, I know.
There's a bunch of broken links in our link list because they keep getting discontinued.
They keep getting discontinued. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after the news and with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you are listening to Soundbites. We'll be back to the phones in just a few minutes. Before we do, I want to talk a little bit about our website, soundbites.org. Again, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like to remind you. We do a poll every week. Last week's poll was when should Soundbites be on the air? 420 of you voted. I want to thank each and every one of you, making it number 18 on the all-time hit list. We've talked about this before, about moving the show, because as time goes on,
it's become a dilemma right now with the Yankees.
Right.
I mean,
and then it's going to be football and soccer and hockey and air hockey and tiddlywinks and everything else. And it's understandable, if I were a sports team, I want to be on the number one station in the area.
50,000 watts.
Exactly. And certainly they're paying for that privilege, and they should be allowed to do it. The reality is, however, that because of that, we get bounced around. So my thought was, maybe we should move the show to a different time. Well, so we put up a poll. The winner by a large margin was Saturday morning, followed by Saturday afternoon. Now, what interests me is Saturday a.m. or Saturday p.m. And now what interests me is, I didn't think about this earlier. I just only thought about this yesterday. How many of those people think we're on Saturday morning? I mean, how many think of this as a Saturday morning show because they get up late? How many think of this as Saturday p.m.?
Saturday afternoon.
How much of these people are saying, don't move it?
Yeah,
I don't know, and that was my fault. I should have had a don't move it choice.
Or morning, afternoon, or evening.
Right. The next choice, now the problem is those are, of course, Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon are the times that get bumped. So the next time was Sunday morning. That was number three on the list. And followed by, who cares, I've got the archives, followed by a weeknight, followed by Sunday p.m. We also had some very interesting
comments.
There was somebody who'd like us to be, instead of the trucking bozo, all night long. That would be kind of fun, but a little tough for those of us who also work during the day, which would be, all three of us.
But a lot of folks, at the very beginning there, I was reading through all the comments and that, said, all right, well, pick a time, but let's have it consistent. Because once we hit, the SU football season, I mean, sometimes we're on at 1, sometimes 4, sometimes 5, sometimes 3. I mean, from week to week, it jumps around, and then we get preempted once because they got to play the post game. So even though they might have it scheduled to come on, say, at 3 o'clock, well, if the post game runs over and then whatever commercials didn't get played because of the game, our show gets even shortened. So if we can get to a slot where we're not going to be bumped by things like this, and I mean the Yankees, you know, we got a lot of Yankee fans out there, and, you know, to get out on a 50,000-watt station is pretty powerful.
Yes.
I don't blame them. But, you know, to our listeners, to be fair, if we can move to a time where we're not going to get bumped, it'd be even better.
Yep. We had 80 opinions. And actually, a vast majority of them this time, as opposed to usual.
Yes.
A vast majority of them actually had something to do with the poll.
Said something, yeah, it made sense to
Right. Me. Normally, when you leave a poll, once you've registered your opinion in the poll, you can go and actually leave a text opinion at my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Can I get a reverb in that for next time?
Whoa,
can you,
whoa,
can
whoa,
you do
whoa.
Reverb? Is there a... Excellent. You want to try it? Okay, let's do it.
Not now.
Oh.
You don't have it now.
I gotta prepare.
Well, he's gotta prepare.
He's the producer. He needs
Excuse
to produce.
Me. It's method producing. I
don't feel it. I don't have the motivation to
you
put
remember,
up with it.
That's Robert F. Linton III.
Master Robert F. Linton III.
Let's try it again. Go ahead.
That's
asknick.com.
No, I meant a reverb on that mic for what
oh,
I said.
That. Oh, no, I can't do that.
Okay.
That's fine.
Well, you know. Well, we need to record it and then do a reverb.
Right. But there were some very interesting comments, most of which a number of people said, and we appreciate this, they said they don't care when it's on as long as it's on consistently, as you said. And that's nice. That's very nice. I love to hear that. We will see what we can do to convince the powers that be, great as they are, that we should be on a different time where we'll be less apt to be bumped by any sports. This week's poll is once again about email. There were a couple of things in the news about this. There
Boston
was a report.
Boston kid got arrested.
Boston kid got arrested for being a spammer, and a Buffalo kid got arrested. There was
convicted.
Yeah, he got convicted. He got arrested a while ago. There was a report that 70% of our email nowadays is spam.
Mm-hmm.
The Debian list, the Debian user list, of which I am a member, on their site they said that 96.5% of their email
is spam.
Before filter or after?
Before they get in.
Yeah.
They deliver 3.5% of the messages they get, and they get over 2 million a day.
There was an, I don't know if it might be in your list, there was a letter this week, or a story in the news this week from a spammer, or as he likes to be considered a email marketer.
Yeah, right.
He is following the law and applying, you know, the subject says advertisement or whatever the laws are, and AOL and the other ISPs are still blocking him, even though he's not doing anything illegal.
See, now
he is suing them.
He should.
Yeah.
He absolutely should. I'm sorry, but if he's following the law and still being blocked, then you know, maybe the law should be changed. I'll grant you that. But he definitely needs to deal with that. So far, we have on our voting page, we have 110 of you have voted so far. And less than 10% is the main estimate. I believe that's probably not counting very well. Excuse me. We have. I don't remember reading that. Oh, that's one of the. Never mind. And we have one of the. And we have 30 opinions so far. I was going to say 30 spam messages so far. Some of them certainly are. We seem to have a flame war going on. I would prefer if you folks didn't flame each other here. If you want to do that, do it somewhere else.
See, I may want to find low mortgage rates or cheap prescription drugs.
Yeah.
So that it might not be spam.
Not for nothing, but 90% of the time, that's not what you're going to be finding.
Yeah. You can do a search.
Even if they say that's what you're going to be finding, that's not what you're going to be finding.
Well, that's what the law says, that their subject line has to say what's really in the message.
Yeah, that'll happen. well, that'll be in the message, but then when we go somewhere else, it'll be a mistake. A problem with their coding has sent you to a porn site instead. Yeah. Listen, we're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back with all of your phone calls, as well as Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If you met on News Radio 1180 WHAM, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. And we're back to the phones now. I can't tell you what could possibly be more exciting than that. Our next caller is George from Victor, New York. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hi, guys. First of all, thanks for a super service you guys provide.
Thank you.
Whenever the show has to be on, just let us know when it is.
God bless you. That's what we'd like to hear. Thanks.
Thank you.
My question is a strange one. At least I think it's strange. I'm running Windows XP, and I have I'm using Outlook Express as my email. And about a month ago, I went to get my email and clicked on the first message, and all of them disappeared, including ones in folders that I had set up. I restarted Outlook Express again, and it came up as if it were brand new, just installed. All my folders, special folders that I had for storing messages were gone, as well as all the messages in the inbox and everything else. I immediately did the tango and checked the virus scan, and nothing came up from there. Made sure I was updated on the same thing. Started it again, and for 3 days, 4 days, the email was fine. Once again, I went to it, and it disappeared in front of me again.
Why don't you try going to, like, Mozilla or Eudora?
Okay.
I mean, one, just to get away from, I'm sorry, but Internet Explorer, or Outlook Express, rather, is one of the biggest culprits for acquiring viruses and letting other things through,
mm-hmm.
whereas if you go to, like, a Eudora or Mozilla and anyone, a Firebird, any of those products, I mean, they're less apt to be attacked.
But your problem is probably something in the registry that Outlook is forgetting that you've already set it up. Or it could be, well, if it's corruption on the hard drive, I'd expect an error message. I can't
and
read your email file, yeah.
Outlook itself, regular Outlook, runs fine.
Yeah.
But I hate Outlook.
Well, Outlook Express doesn't see the mail, but Outlook still does?
No. All of them will see the mail, but when I'm using Outlook, nothing disappears.
Right.
When I sometimes Outlook I go to, it's gone. It just disappears in front of me.
Well, like I say, you can even go like to Netscape or any of those others and import all your Outlook stuff.
Right, I know.
So you won't lose anything. It'll import all the settings, and then that way, you know, you're probably going to have less problems.
Yeah, we're creatures of familiarity, and I've been using that for so long and so used to it.
One thing you can try is to make a new identity in Outlook or Outlook Express, and that actually creates new registry entries and a new location on the hard drive to store your files.
Ah.
And if it is a registry problem that's making it forget your existing identity, that might help.
Isn't there also a build and repair?
Yeah, the inbox repair tool. Is that still around?
Yeah, that's still there, but if he's lost all his email and it's...
Well, it's probably still there. It's just it doesn't know where to look for it.
It's not on the program. I know where to look for it and then run
the
recovery file to get it back. But,
it's not there.
It's still there, but it's just not showing up in the program.
Yes, the program is forgetting where it is.
Yeah.
Oh, so you can find all of the messages. They're still there.
But
under, you know, your application data and it has a, there's a, you know, a file there where they store all of your mail.
Yeah, your settings and everything else.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's there, and I could use a program that I downloaded to recover that. I don't remember. They call it DBR files or something.
Well,
it's telling Outlook Express that here's the files, build your registry entries again.
Right. So if you find all the .dbx files, you can move them back into the folder. They'll probably replace the ones where the name is identical.
Yeah, you got to use a converter to get them back in, right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make a new identity, that should fix any of the registry problems for the identity that keeps losing the mail.
Okay, right. I'll try that.
That's probably your best bet at this point.
Okay, and then the other course of is use a different program for email.
Yes,
that is a good idea.
Here you go. Hey, thanks again,
Netscape,
guys.
Netscape, you will find, is not that much different than Outlook Express.
Okay. It's just that Outlook itself is horrible.
It's not designed for you. It's designed for the enterprise. Badly so, but it is designed for the enterprise.
Yeah.
Well, badly is the key word there. Okay.
Yeah, it's mostly for group collaboration, and email is sort of a side thing.
Yeah.
You're supposed to get a conference invitation through the email, and then it adds it to your schedule.
It really works exceptionally well if you have Microsoft Exchange as the server on the back end.
Got it.
Using it just for email is both not well done and not really the point.
Okay, I will try all your suggestions. Thanks again, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it. Our next caller, Donald, from Perry, New York. Welcome, Donald. What's your question?
Good afternoon. Nick, Dave, Stephen, Rob.
There you go.
I think his middle name is Felix.
Felix! No. He says no.
No?
Felix.
Okay. You should put up a list so we don't see him again.
What?
Put up a list of all the middle names that's already been said.
A poll. Next week's poll.
What's Rob's middle name? Oh, Rob's middle
name.
And if anybody knows it, they can email me.
Yes.
Rob was worried about screening him, so he goes, you won't get it through because I screen him. I says, well, then fine. Folks can email me. He doesn't screen my email.
Okay, so far we know it's not Fenton, Francis, Felix, or Farquhar.
And Fred.
Oh, and Fred.
I guess Fred. Okay, go ahead, Donald. What's your question?
Well, I just acquired some Wi-Fi equipment, the D-Leak AirPlus Extreme G and the VT card and PCI card.
Right.
I love it. Where could I find more information on it, like setting up an ad hoc or whatever?
So you're looking for Wi-Fi info on
yes.
that.
Yes.
There's some stuff at...
Wi-Fi.org isn't the big one?
Isn't that the big one? I was about to say, Wi-Fi.org, I think it is. We're all frantically going there now.
No, don't go there.
Okay, no, huh? okay, that's not it.
It's fun going between, watching these two guys go...
You know, pretty much anything you type on the internet will take you to a porn site. I just, I'm pretty astounded by that.
Okay, I have a couple of comments about these other couple callers.
Yeah.
The person with the virus, if he were to go into safe mode and scan it, would that also help?
That's a good point. Thank
yeah.
you.
And
Y-fi.org.
Oh, okay.
Oh, pardon me. Yes, yes, yes.
And also, with this last question, I think Outlook Express seems like it might be corrupted. If you use a SFC or something like that.
Yeah, there's also a build and repair tool within yep. Outlook Express
mm-hmm.
that you can do.
Okay.
Okay,
yes,
clearly Donald's way too smart for us.
But thank you, sir.
But y-fi.org?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's the international Wi-Fi standard.
And we'll put a link.
The there. Wi-Fi Alliance. Yeah.
The Wi-Fi Alliance. And,
they've got links to a lot of the other sites as well.
Okay.
Right, about Wi-Fi and, you know, how-tos. And
what's that, the network in town? Faranzan. I can never spell it right. A lot of the bars and clubs in town have free wireless access.
Oh, free?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And then the some of the other coffee shops and whatnot will have, you know,
yeah.
pretty low-cost access.
Yeah, like Starbucks, they have T-Mobile for their
right.
access.
But I know Jeremiah's does because we go there a lot. Spin has it.
Well,
it's F something.
If you go to techny.com, that's Justin's site for Computer Link Magazine, techny.com, there's a link down a ways just above the poll. They have a poll as well. I mean, they have a poll as well, you can look at the wireless hotspots. They have a list of the wireless hotspots in town, both in Buffalo and in Rochester, and it talks about what's available and how much they cost. Some are free, some cost you money.
Okay, it sounds good, because I'm pretty excited about this Wi-Fi stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Pretty neat stuff. And there are a bunch of places in town you can take your laptop or your handheld computer and sit for free and surf the net and drink your coffee.
Sounds good to me.
There you go. Thank you very much. That's techny.com, and Steve will have that on our website. Where are we now? Our next caller is Dave on a cell phone. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
I'm going to pick your brains for a bit. My wife has an older computer.
Right.
And computer years, it's an antique. It's 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Her mouse started acting up on it last night.
Mm-hmm.
It has a jumper so I can put a PS2 mouse on it, which
mm-hmm.
I have. And when I hook up the PS2 mouse and then go to system, I get a yellow exclamation point after the mouse properties.
Did you turn it on in the BIOS?
Yes. Actually, it's not in the BIOS. It's a jumper on the motherboard.
No, in the BIOS, you also need to turn on support for the PS2.
Yeah, even though you have the jumper.
Excuse me, not for the PS2. For the
PS2.
Yeah, PS2.
And you may get an error in your hardware device on the serial mouse because you don't have one anymore.
You can turn the serial port off. In other words, you can go in and disable it. Say it was on COM 1, you can go down to peripherals, and it'll list your serial port there, and you can say disable. That way it also frees up an IRQ.
Okay. In the BIOS, there's no provisions to turn on the PS2 mouse.
It's just there?
You do it on the jumper on the motherboard.
Okay. Well, also, but go into the BIOS, though, and turn off the serial port so it won't go look in there.
Okay.
Disable that.
Okay.
But other than that, what type of machine do you have?
What kind of machine do I have?
Yeah, what kind of machine do you have?
Mine's a 2 gigahertz that I built.
All right, now here's what you do.
Shut up, Dave.
Give her the 2 gigahertz, and you have to suffer with a Pentium 4, say, 3.2 gigahertz, you know, do dual 120 gig hard drive.
Hand her down the old 2 gigahertz machine and move up yourself.
You get yourself a gig of memory, say, a 128 video card, like I say, twin 120s, DVD burner in it. And you have to suffer and give up your old machine.
You going to pay for this for me?
No, we just give the suggestions.
You're on your own. That's how that works.
One more question.
Yeah.
If I can't get the PS2 mouse working, do you know anybody in the city that still has a serial mouse?
Serial mouse?
Pretty much anyone should be able to at least order one.
I tell you what. Give my shop a call on Monday.
Okay.
Probably have a bin full of them in the back room you don't use anymore.
Yeah, call it to NRIPC Management, 442-4843, Tuesday morning, because we're closed on Monday. And
he's a veteran. He's going to try to remember anything on Monday.
And, give me a call. Mention that, you and I talked, and I'll pull one out of the bin.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, used to be that mice were serial mice and had a PS2 adapter on them.
Mm-hmm.
Now all the mice are USB mice with a PS2 adapter.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. So, give me a call on Tuesday.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks a lot, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. It's interesting. It's a 9-year-old machine, and you think to yourself, 9 years old, if it does what you want.
Hey.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Trying to get them into a better system.
Sure, both of them. It's a win-win situation. I don't care what you say. Yeah. Our next caller, Harvey from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Harvey. What's your question?
Yes, I have clean install of Windows XP on my computer, but when I go and first boot up the machine and I go to my computer, it takes 3 minutes to open.
How much memory?
256.
There's one issue.
Do you have any connections to networked machines?
No, it's strictly a standalone machine.
Does it think there should be a connection somewhere? In other words, what happens is if you have a machine that's not on the network at all, and you've told it that you're on a network, it's going to spend time waiting for the network access to time out and say no network here.
Especially if you have a network card in it but not connected to anything.
There's no network card in there.
Look in your setup and see if you have anything under networking. For example, if you've installed AOL.
No, there's no AOL's never been on there.
All right, but things like AOL pretend to be
installed.
A regular network. Check it anyway.
Yeah. I would also suggest, though, getting the RAM. It's only 256 meg.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't be 3 minutes, though.
No.
How big are your hard drives?
It's an 80 meg drive. I got it partitioned to about 40.
80 meg?
Or 80 gigabytes.
Oh, you should be the last person to gig somebody else for that.
No,
you do it every week.
No, I thought that was an awful small drive.
Yes, it is an awful small drive.
I mean, they did make 80 meg.
Yeah, no, it's 80 gigabytes.
I would suggest that you check that out first. Check to see if there's anything in your network. and start there. The other thing is,
so does it ever speed up? You know, an hour or two into using the machine?
Oh yeah, so it's only the first time that it takes 3 minutes.
How did you partition this drive?
Hmm.
How did you partition this drive?
Using partition magic, but it did it before I did that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there might not be a partition magic problem.
Yeah, once he did the partition magic before the install.
No, it was doing it before I used partition magic.
When it was just a 40, when it was just a full 80?
It was full 80, yes.
What other things are running in the background?
Just the flashlight comes on and runs when you go. In fact,
yeah, see,
you
that's what I'm
do,
saying. It's looking for something that it can't find, and that leads me to think it's a network problem.
If you try to do any disk access, such as Windows Explorer, it's the same thing. It takes 3 minutes. Anything that's trying to make the disk run.
Can you hear any odd sounds coming from the disk?
No, not at all.
Do us a favor. Check the network first. Look under network settings, see if there's anything there. Look to see, go to right-click on My Computers, select Properties, select Map Network Drive, and you'll see a list of, you'll see two boxes. One is which drive letter you want.
Okay.
Pull that down and see if next to any of those drive letters there is, in fact, a name. It thinks there's a drive there.
Is this a Pentium 4 motherboard?
No, it's a Pentium 3, 1000.
All right, well, I still think there might be onboard networking, and depending on the case, where you plug the network in might be hidden.
Right.
I mean, I've seen people put it in, and it's usually right above two USB ports.
And it
but
looks,
if they didn't do the punch out...
And you shove the USB cable
well,
into
I've
the
had this
port.
Machine since day one. It's 3 years old, and there's never been a network card in it.
No, it wouldn't be a network card. Sometimes they have network built onto the motherboard.
Okay.
And that's why we want you to take a look. Just listen, we got to move on. We're not going to argue for the next 20 minutes about whether or not there's a network card in here. Do me a favor. Go into Control Panel under Network and see if there's any sort of network connection at all. If there is, get rid of it and reboot and try it and see if it makes it faster.
Okay.
And let us know.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry, it's just not really productive to be saying yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Our next caller... Ron from Avon, New York.
Hey, boys. I've called you a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And I had problems. You know, I lost my, the back arrow and forward arrow and my printer icon. You can press F11. It doesn't do any good. I tried to reinstall the printer software. It says printer software already exists, and it's listed there.
You lost the front and back arrows on your printer software.
No. On the computer. I can't go back to the program or forward to another.
The icons
are
missing?
Where? In your browser? Your web browser?
Yeah.
Are the icons...
So if you open up Internet Explorer and go to a web page...
Yeah.
The forward and back arrows aren't even there.
No. And also the printer arrow disappeared. The printer icon.
Well, those are preferences. You can tell it what buttons to put in the toolbar.
I did. I tried. I went into it says printer ready, but it doesn't.
No. In Explorer, Internet Explorer, you got to go to Tools, and
right click. Hold on, listen.
I don't use Internet Explorer.
Well, whatever.
Wait, I just asked you if in Internet Explorer you lose your buttons, and you said yes.
Yes.
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay, so you.
Oh, I use Blue Frog, my internet connection.
Okay.
So what program do you use as a browser?
Blue Frog. And I go to
Blue Frog is your internet service.
What you're actually saying is like if you open up a folder, the forward and back and print arrows on the folder are missing.
Now, I'll use Web Crawler or any one of the browsers. And I don't have the arrows.
Yeah, those are
backwards and forwards.
Those are preferences in those browsers to what buttons you want displayed in the toolbar. There should be a reset toolbar command somewhere in the preference for that program.
How do you get into that?
What you want to do is right-click on the toolbar. If you're using Internet Explorer, if you're not, I don't know what to tell you. But if you right-click on the toolbar, it pull it down, and then there's a customize, and you can pick what buttons you want to show up and what buttons you don't. We have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Rick.
They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enrich.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this right here
is what?
Soundbites.
Oh, we're at the right place then.
And at the right time. And our next caller is Bob from Pittsburgh, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Hi. You have the Mac guys there today?
No, he's out to lunch.
Well, he's both here and out to lunch. I think that's true. What do you need?
I have an iMac flat screen, the sexy-looking one, that I got 2 years ago that just has a CD drive, no DVD. So I went out and got a DVD FireWire drive, EasyQuest one. And it's the DVD player that's built into OS X won't work. And I've had some success rebooting it back to OS 9, but is there a way to get the OS X DVD player to work?
Not with an external DVD player, no. It only works with the internal Apple drive.
Oh.
You have to use the player that came with the external drive.
You can sort of say, isn't it special?
Might have been a player that came with that drive that I didn't look at.
There should have been, I think, yeah. It's the MPEG licensing issues, is that Apple's software is only licensed for Apple's hardware. And a lot of people have been upset about that, but it's part of how Apple licenses it. It would cost more if you wanted a blanket license to work with any hardware.
I see. Now, how hard would it be to upgrade the built-in drive to one that that Apple would approve of, I guess?
It's not that hard. You have to be comfortable with computers to get it open. The biggest problem with the iMacs is the heat dissipation issues. There is a heat pipe that transfers heat from the logic board on the bottom up through the fans on the top, and there's special thermal paste you have to put along that pipe to make sure the connections are made. So you have to be pretty comfortable with electronics to do it yourself. Now, it's something we could do at my store.
Which is?
At Jesse Group in Mendon or Mac Ave on Monroe Avenue.
Okay, I've been there.
Good. The Apple, if you just want a DVD player internally, that's pretty easy. The DVD recorders to use with Apple software are typically the Pioneer brand. So it depends on what OEM you might have gotten. And in fact, it's even possible you could remove the external drive from its case and make it into an internal unit as well.
Huh. Well, stuff to think about. Thanks.
All righty.
Okay. That was easy. Thanks. It really won't work with any other drive.
Well, the DVD recording, yes, because of the MPEG encoding is only licensed for the Apple drives. The DVD Studio Pro software will work with any DVD burner, but the Apple's iDVD only works with the Apple internal drives. Yeah. I haven't tried playing an external DVD recently, but I'm going to do a little research, see if there's a way to do it.
Those are like orange drives, and you can't mix apples and oranges.
Boom, boom. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Our next caller, Lee from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Lee. What's your question?
I just got a quick question on opening a disk that I seem to have lost some information on.
Mm-hmm.
I've got just basically some Excel and some Word files
on a floppy.
I usually use my computer and go to the A drive to open it. When I did that, it froze, and I got the error message that it wasn't responding, and I closed it. When I try to reopen it, it says that the disk isn't formatted. Would I like to format it?
Have you tried reading another floppy in there?
I read other floppies. I don't have any problem. If I try and open them like a Word file using Word, it comes back and says either the disk isn't formatted or it's formatted for a Mac.
No matter what drive you try to read.
Right. I can't get the file or anything on the disk that was in there when it crashed. Any other
just
disk?
Just that one. Every other disk is fine.
Right.
Hmm.
The only thing I can suggest is a program called SpinWrite.
Yep.
SpinWrite? Okay.
Yeah, it's at grc.com. Gibson Research Corporation, Steve Gibson, who is my hero, writes some of the most amazing code I have ever seen. One of the things SpinWrite can do, and this is pure magic, is he can reformat a disk on the fly without losing the data.
Okay.
Floppies, hard drives, zip disks, name it. It, assuming that there's still data on the drive. Now, it depends on what happened to this disk. But if there's any program that can fix it,
SpinWrite
is the program.
Okay, great.
You can get it from them, or I believe you can buy it pretty much anywhere you like.
Okay. I'll give that a shot. Thank you.
Thank you. I love SpinWrite.
Mm-hmm. Great utility.
And for our last caller, I just found a couple of hints on the net for using an external DVD player with a Mac. And posted the link on our fact list. There were a couple of suggestions about using a different DVD player, one called VLC instead of Apple's DVD player. And it seems that some version of Apple OS X will work if your external player has the same OEM as Apple uses. So if you have a Pioneer mechanism in your EasyQuest drive, which he apparently doesn't, or it would already work.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
But Apple's official stance is that the Apple DVD software will only work with an internal Apple DVD player.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Our next caller, Scott. Scott. Bleh. Yeah.
Nick, I got a question.
Sorry, Scott.
I got a question, Nick.
Yes.
How can you go about updating SpyBot, the definitions and all that? Every time I run it, it says I got 41 definitions, but how do you go about, is there a way to update it?
Are you running version 1.3?
I'm running the latest. I just went out there.
Yeah, 1.3, if you say updates, there's one, I think it's called Tea Time. T-E-A time. And it should find that update. Check the box.
There's a big update button on SpyBot's front page.
There's a search for updates button. Once you've done...
You're running the old version, the newer one?
Once you click that, you'll see a search for updates button there. You have to click that.
I never see an update button, though.
Uninstall that and download the 1.3.
1.3
just came out last week, and it's fantastic. It's cleaner. It totals them all up.
Excellent. We have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Litton, me, Nick Francesco, and Soundbites at 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller is Phil from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Phil. What's your question?
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I don't know too much about computers right off the top here. And what I did was I did a McAfee virus update definition. And it asked me if I wanted to reboot. And I said no. I was still kind of doing some stuff. And after I was done, I said, well, you know what, let me restart the computer. So I went, to shut down, and I clicked on restart. When I did that, the computer restarted, but it's frozen in where it comes up, Microsoft Windows 98 screen. That's where it sits. So it doesn't go any further than that.
What version of McAfee are you running?
I honestly don't know.
There was an issue with 98 that...
Are you running Windows 98?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what he said.
You may be able to hit the escape key and clear the Windows logo and see any text messages behind it.
But I just did that.
All right. What you want to do is if you go to the start, go to run, type sysedit, and in the auto exec...
You may have to do this in safe mode if Windows won't boot normally.
Well, how do I get to... because it doesn't go any further than where it is.
All right. When it's rebooting... keep hitting the F8 key.
F8.
It'll bring you up to a menu. You select option 3, which is safe mode.
Okay.
You'll then go into a very large screen.
Okay.
All your icons will be big. If you go to start, run type sysedit. S-Y-S-E-D-I-T.
S-Y-S-E-D-I-T.
Short for System Editor.
Got it. Okay.
All right. Go into the Auto Exec.
Auto Exec.
Yep. You click on there. You will see a line that references your auto, the loading the McAfee.
Okay.
And they had it, it was doing like a scan. If you run that out for the time being.
Okay.
And then once you get on it, I've got a correction under Dave's tips on how to correct that. But what it is, it's getting locked. And there was a problem with version, I think it was 6, that when you did updates in that, it would lock the machine up. So try just putting REM in front of that.
Okay.
And then reboot the machine, and it should pass that up and go on in.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for your help.
All right. And then, like I say, you can go to Dave's tips off of our webpage, and I've got a solution down. It was quite a long time ago, and it tells you how to change that line correctly in the McAfee.
Okay, great.
All right.
Appreciate your help with that.
All right. Thank you. Our next caller, Paul, from Dansville, New York.
Hello. I'm a faithful listener, and I do everything you always say.
Thank you. Send us money.
Okay, I will. Checks in the mail.
Soupy sales.
Listen, I had an interesting thing happen to me, which wasn't so interesting. I have a XP or a Pavilion, HP Pavilion with Windows XP on it. I did the security tango because we were having some pop-ups and things like that. And then I installed Zone Alarm. So I thought, great, we're going to be really secure here. Turned the computer off, came back later, turned it on, and the first screen I got was it was calling for the license key because we had to reactivate XP on the computer, of course, which we've been running it for years and just fine with no problem. So I finally got the thing to, because it wouldn't even boot, but finally for some reason it did boot, and I got it into safe mode. I removed Zone Alarm, and life is wonderful. So
interesting.
Except that we have some pop-ups and some toolbars that we don't want on there. So do you have any thoughts?
Try one of the pop-up stopper programs.
Zone Alarm wouldn't do that anyway.
I'll look into this, but I don't have an answer for you right now. Removing Zone Alarm fixed it. I don't know, but I will look into that, I promise you. We're done for another week. I want to thank all our guests who called in. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco, and we will be back here next Saturday at 12:20 p.m. on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.